Happy feast!
Happy feast!
Hi, folks. Welcome to the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the end of a week getting to know God and those He has invited. By sharing this spiritual time together, being of like mind, and slowing down the pace of life, we please God and we're rewarded in one way or another. So, what are the three takeaways from this experience of keeping the feast? My three points are simple enough to be printed on a coffee mug, which I have at home. They are worship, feast, and repeat. The word worship, it's a verb. It's an action word. It's something we do. Psalm 96:6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." This word worship means to bow down, to prostrate oneself, or even fall flat, to take a posture of profound reverence, to submit to His will, in contrast to hardening our heart. Physically, we can bend the knee, bow the head, change our actions. Those physical movements today are outward signs of humility and submission as part of our worship to God. That's our physical expression of reverence towards God. We may want to bow. We may kneel down on our knees, prostrate ourselves, and put our face actually on the ground in prayer. But have you ever considered how vulnerable you are when you prostrate yourself? Our faces and our eyes are facing the ground. We expose the most sensitive parts of our body to potential kick or injury. And this is not a position you would take on a busy sidewalk, folks. But you know, it can be compared to being in love. When we are in love, we tear down our personal barriers and our emotional protection, and we open ourselves up to the ones we love. In personal relationships, we can get hurt by taking this posture of openness. In our relationship with God, our Father, we can trust that no harm will come. Looking at our audience, it looks like many of us are aging, and perhaps our joints, our bones, and muscles don't want to cooperate the way they used to. Certainly, as we age, for many, it's harder to get up and down. The reality for some is that if we get down in that prostrate position, we're going to probably have to get assistance or paramedics to help us up. Well, obviously, or maybe not so obviously, when we worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker, what matters most is our hearts. Are our hearts bowing down before God? Do we allow our hearts, as it were, to be face down on the ground before God? Worshiping our Maker is an outward expression of reverence to God. We want to remember the sincere motivation behind the action of worship. And spiritually, we prostrate our minds and we submit to do God's will. How can that be true? It's because we worship God in spirit. John 4:19, a real fundamental scripture. It's a story about Jesus meeting a woman. And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And verse 23, Jesus said, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worship will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." And verse 24, Jesus says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." What is the evidence that we are worshiping God in spirit here today? In our bodies, in our minds, we will have faithfully kept the seven-day Feast of Tabernacles. God says, "Because we kept the sacred feast to the Lord our God in the place which the Lord chose, that he will bless us in our produce and the works of our hands, so that we may surely rejoice." That's Deuteronomy 16:15. Yes, we worship. What's next? We feast. The word feast is a verb and a noun. To feast is an action, but also it's a thing that we prepare for. And during this time of feast, our lives change. We eat better. We do less labor, some of us, and basically have more of everything than we generally do. We have a little more cash and jingle in our pockets, more friends to share time with, and more food in our bellies, and spiritual food in our minds. The word feast is also a noun. The feast is a place, somewhere we go. Leviticus 23:34 says, "Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's festival of tabernacles begin, and it lasts 7 days." It is interesting that this place we call the feast or tabernacle seems to take on a personality. It's like a good friend. Temecula has been my friend. Been warmed by the sun. And he made this holy feast of the Lord a joy. Temecula has been welcoming. Many hugs, handshakes, and smiles. Temecula has been our temporary home and reconnected us to lost friends and helped us make new ones. It has been wonderful and has provided an abundance of inspiration, hope, and faith. But now what? We're here on the seventh day. We now must look ahead at the future and repeat God's holy day cycles around it every year. The years of the feast repeat with changing lessons, likely at different locations, but always the feast reminds us of the plan of God. Leviticus 23:41, it says, "You shall keep it as a feast of the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month." So what do we need to do to repeat our worship at the feasts of God? Deuteronomy 14:22 and 23. He gives us directions. And we all need to follow this direction of Leviticus 23. No, excuse me, of Deuteronomy 14:22. Says, "You shall surely tithe of the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, the firstborn of your herds and your flocks. Why? That you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. We're commanded by God to save 10% of our income or increase of crops, livestock, investments, and we can put this in plain terms, folks. Pretend you make $3,000 a month to maintain your budget. And this budget includes the festival tithe and the tithe that you give to God to support his work. So out of that $3,000, you're saving $300 a month for your festival tithe. Well, you do that for 12 months, you have $3,600. Well, I find that's incredible because that's $600 more than I would need for the whole month. And I only have to spend it in 8 days. Yeah, that money is all yours. Now you have more to spend in 10 days, not 30. And in this example, you have 3 times the spending power in that amount of time. And this is a concentration of blessings from God that he wants you to have to experience his feast. Every 7th month on God's calendar for 7 days, we are to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We are to keep the feast at a place where he places his name. We will save 10% of our increase or income in faith to be able to experience the concentration of blessings of God and to fear the Lord God always. True worshipers will be there to worship the Father in spirit and truth. He is our great creator God. And we get to call this holy being Father and Abba. It is he who seeks many to worship him. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Bow down, take a posture of profound reverence. Let us submit our minds, our bodies, and time to learn his ways, to do his will, to keep his feast, and to eat up before the Lord our God. And as I said at the start, worship, feast, and repeat.